One day, either here or in purgatory, we're going to have to make up for the faults we commit. We'll talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay right where you are, because we begin now. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in. You know the deal. Make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimak. I'll be here for the next 30 minutes, and I'm really glad you could join me here on Blog Talk Radio. Today on the program, in addition to looking at the daily mass readings, which are very interesting, by the way, in addition to doing that, we'll take a look at this whole idea of purgatory. We all will have to make up for the sins that we commit. Even though we may be absolved through the sacrament of confession, there's still something known as temporal punishment that relates to the punishment due to the sins that we commit. And even though if we go to purgatory, it means that we will eventually make it to heaven, which is the absolute truth, we're still going to have to do some atoning for the sins that we committed in this life. We'll discuss the concept of either suffering here or suffering in purgatory. I know it's not fun to think about sometimes, but it really is something that needs to be addressed. We need to look at that, and especially as we head into Lent, when we have the opportunity, when we have a great opportunity to do some repenting for our sins, maybe some self-mortification, giving up certain things, to try to make up for the evil we've done. And look, let's face it, we've all done evil. And also to try to get closer to the Lord. We'll look at the book My Daily Bread, as we do every Wednesday on the show, and that'll be the topic. But as I said, before that, we're going to look at the daily mass readings. Now, let's talk about Lent for a minute. You may know, but in case you don't, you might be a new listener to the program, I want to let you know that the Lenten Radio Retreat will be kicking off here. This is the sixth annual one that we've done on the program here. It'll be kicking off on February the 10th on this program. So I would invite you to join me. I really think you're going to like it. This year, we will be using Matthew Kelly's brand new book, Rediscover Jesus, as the basis for the retreat. So what we'll do each night for 30 minutes, that's the duration of the show. It'll stay the same length as it is now. We will look at the daily mass readings. And for Lent, here's the deal with Lent. For Lent, the mass readings are every day. They come from a different source. When we're in ordinary time, we're really going sequentially through the mass readings, through the first reading in the gospel. We're going sequentially through the various books of the Bible. But during Lent, they're all over the place because the church wants to take us down a certain path during the Lenten season. So you get some really special, you get a nice special mixture of mass readings. So that's one thing. We'll be doing that, but each day we will also be reading from Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus. And the way the book's laid out, I don't know if you've seen it, but the way the book is laid out, it consists of very short meditations, which are perfect for this program. So I'm really excited about that. Now, here's the best news of all. If you would like to get a free copy of the book, you can visit Matthew's website, which is dynamiccatholic.com. Go to dynamiccatholic.com and order your free copy of Rediscover Jesus. And that way, you will be all set. Now, here's the cool thing about this retreat. And you know what? There's nothing like it on Catholic radio. I'm not speaking egotistically or anything, but there's just nobody doing a daily retreat like this during Lent. And we've been doing it for 6 years. It's been very effective. We've done everything from, oh boy, what did we do? We did the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius 1 year. We did Father Larry Richard's book 1 year. I don't remember, man, I'll tell you what, I should be able to remember this, but we've done several other books throughout the years, and I thought Matthew's book would be great this year because one of my main goals is to grow closer to Jesus. That's one of my main goals, and it really is an attainable goal. It's something we can all do, and it would be a great thing to put into practice during Lent. So get yourself your copy of the book, and then show up here on February the 10th, and I will do a show prior to that talking about the retreat, just giving you an idea of what to expect. Let your friends know. There are no limitations. We'll take as many people as we can. I got plenty of room here. There's always room for one more. And you know how it works. You bring your beverage, you bring your snack, and we talk about Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church for 30 minutes. But during Lent, it's extra special. Now, by the way, you're probably concerned about the beverage du jour. I know you're interested in this. That's why we have to talk about it. Here we go. Tonight's beverage du jour. Want to hear it again? Here we go. Wait a minute, Gary. You say, that sounds like Mystic Monk Jingle Bell Java, but it can't be because Christmas is over. Well, you've got a very keen ear, because that is Mystic Monk Jingle Bell Java. An excellent blend. If you've ever had it, you know what I'm talking about. You know how good it is. But I managed to get some Jingle Bell Java before the supplies ran out. Now, I want to alert you to something. If you're a fan of good coffee, you need to check out the great coffee provided by Mystic Monk Coffee. This is real excellent coffee brewed by real monks. As the slogan goes, real monks were passionate for fine coffee. In a few weeks, actually it's probably more than a few weeks, but keep your eyes open because they will be offering something called Pascha Java, which is basically Jingle Bell Java under a different name. I don't know if you knew that, but if you like that flavor, you can also get it during the Easter season. I think they bring it out sometime during Lent, but it's really focused on the Easter season. Check it out. Mystic Monk Coffee, they have a wide variety of flavored coffees. They have many, many different types of coffee and tea, and I think you'll be really pleased with the product. You can find out more by visiting followingthetruth.com and clicking on the Mystic Monk image. While you're there, if you need to do any shopping from Amazon.com, I would just ask you to use the link on my website. You can't miss it. It's on the right-hand side of every page. It's a big Amazon logo. You click on that, you go into Amazon that way, and any purchase that you make results in a small commission for me. These are ways that I can keep the program on the air, and then I can keep my full-time ministry going. And if you're going to shop from Amazon anyway, it would really help me if you would do that. So just keep that in mind, followingthetruth.com. Just click on Amazon. You're going to get the same prices. Everything is the same. The only difference is that you enter into Amazon from my website. So thank you for doing that. Please share that message with your friends and let them know that they could really help me out by doing that. And by the way, while we're at it, let me just mention that I am still in need of financial donations to keep this ministry going. If you're able to help me out, I would really appreciate it. You can do that also from followingthetruth.com by going to the donate page, and you can make a secure donation, totally secure, through PayPal. And it's very much needed and very much appreciated, and I thank you in advance for that. As I've told you many times, if it wasn't for you, I would not still be on the air. So thank you very much. Let's see what else is coming up. If you'd like me to come to your parish to speak, I would love to do that. Once again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And on my homepage, I put up a video, a professionally shot video, about 7 minutes in length, of a talk that I gave in Metairie, Louisiana, not too long ago. It was actually in December. It's just a little glimpse into my talk. The full-length DVD will be coming out soon, in addition to some other DVDs that were filmed in Carencro, Louisiana, which is in the Diocese of Lafayette. So we did a bunch of filming when I was down there in December. The DVDs will be out soon. So I'll let you know in case you're interested in seeing any of those. Okay, ready to get started? I need to take one more sip of my coffee, so feel free to have a sip of your beverage as well. We're going to pray, and then we will get right into these Mass readings. Let's place ourselves in the presence of Almighty God. Let's remember that He hears us, that He loves us, and that every time we turn to Him in prayer, there will always be an answer. The answer doesn't always come as quickly as we'd like, but there always will be an answer to our prayer. So we can always thank Him in advance for anything that we request. All right, ready to go? Here we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of our Catholic faith. Father, you are all powerful. You have created everything from nothing, and we're in awe of your great power and your great love. We're so grateful for the fact that you love us unconditionally, and that anything that happens in our lives, we know that it somehow will benefit us and help us to get to heaven. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick this evening, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who might be struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with any sort of addiction, as well as those who are struggling financially. We ask you to help them. We ask you to grant them your peace. And we ask you to keep them close to you at all times. Father, I offer this program up to you, and I ask you to speak through me. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father, also we present to you our own personal needs and intentions. Anything that may get in the way of our relationship with you, please help us to focus more on you than on our problems, and also to turn everything over to you and let you handle all of our difficulties for us, because we know you can do a better job than we can. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, thank you so much for praying with me. Always a pleasure when you pray with me. Isn't it great that we can turn to the Lord and ask Him to help us with our needs, and just be able to speak to Him? It's pretty cool that we can speak to God anytime we want. No matter when we wake up in the night, no matter where we are, if we're driving on the road, if we're taking a walk, we can always turn to the Lord, and that really is a great blessing, isn't it? It's also a great blessing for me to be able to share this 30 minutes with you. We're now in our sixth year on Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord for that. I'm so grateful to have you as a listener, and I would ask that you continue to let your friends know about this program, because the word spreads mainly by word of mouth. I try to get as much publicity out there as I can, but the fact that you let your friends know really helps me. I'm just a guy who's trying to grow closer to Christ every day, and I know that's your goal too. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Let's sit here. Let's talk about our Catholic faith each night. This program airs Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can download the podcast either from blogtalkradio.com. You can listen directly from my website, followingthetruth.com, or you can go to iTunes. No matter how you do it, it will not cost you anything. This program is free of charge, and I always want it to stay that way. That's one of the reasons I ask for your donations, if at all possible, so that I'm able to keep going with the show. Anyway, if you have any questions about anything that we discuss, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. It's always great to hear from you. All right, let's do these readings now, and I'll try to give you a somewhat of an explanation. I'm going to go to an external source for this first reading, because there's a lot of information in this first reading. I want to make sure that I do it justice. So let's get right to it. The readings are a bit lengthy today, so let me start without further ado. First reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, verses 4 through 17. That night the Lord spoke to Nathan, and he said, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day on which I led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the present, but I have been going about in a tent under cloth. In all my wanderings everywhere among the children of Israel, did I ever utter a word to any one of the judges whom I charged to tend my people Israel to ask, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, speak thus to my servant David. The Lord of hosts has this to say, it was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. And I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. It is he who shall build a house for my name, and I will make his royal throne firm forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And if he does wrong, I will correct him with the rod of men and with human chastisements. But I will not withdraw my favor from him as I withdrew it from your predecessor Saul, whom I removed from my presence. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever. Nathan reported all these words and this entire vision to David. Now, there's a lot going on there, so I thought what I would do is I would turn to an excellent Bible commentary. If you are looking for a good commentary on the Bible, I would recommend a couple of sources. For the New Testament, I prefer the Ignatius Catholic Study New Testament. That's an excellent commentary on the New Testament. Unfortunately, they don't have a companion volume for the Old Testament. So what I like, and this is another great source, they cover the Old and the New Testament, is the Navarre Bible. That's N-A-V-A-R-R-E. That's an excellent Catholic biblical commentary. The problem is, it can be a little pricey, and at least at one time, the different books of the Old and the New Testament, they were all sold in separate volumes. They group some of them together, but for the most part, they're individual volumes, but the commentary is phenomenal. And I'm going to read from the commentary on this particular passage, because there are some really important things here. Nathan. Who is Nathan? Nathan is a court prophet who will also appear in later accounts connected with Solomon and Bathsheba. And the commentary states that Nathan's prophecy is particularly important. It decides who will succeed David, and it has to do with the Messiah, who will be a descendant of David. When he says what he says has all the formality of an oracular statement, it confirms the dynastic succession and specifies the role of the temple among God's chosen people. The hereditary monarchy, then is the center of Nathan's prophecy. Okay, let's see. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't want to read everything. The prophecy assured David's line would endure. From the central part of the prophecy, we can see that every descendant of David, the figure of the future Messiah, will have the following qualities. He will be a son to God. He will be punished when necessary, but the punishment will be only temporary. The Davidic dynasty will endure forever. And let's see. So, and this is what's important about this, and I'm not going to go any deeper than that. I just wanted to give you a rough outline to highlight some of the key things here. The main message that we get from this is that the Messiah, the King, Jesus Christ, will eventually come from David's line, David's genealogy. The genealogy of Christ comes from David. So the Messiah will be a descendant of King David. Therefore, his kingship or his kingdom will last forever. And that's an important message. That's an important message for us. And there's a lot more that we can go into that, but for the purposes of in the interest of time, I'm not going to go into all that for this program. But if you're looking for a good Bible commentary, I would really recommend the Navarre Bible. They do an excellent job. Okay, the responsorial psalm, Psalm 89, "Forever I will maintain my love for my servant. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will make your dynasty stand forever and establish your throne through all ages. He shall cry to me. You are my father, my God, the rock that brings me victory. I myself make him firstborn Most High over the kings of the earth. Forever I will maintain my love for him. My covenant with him stands firm. I will establish his dynasty forever, his throne as the days of the heavens. Again, there's that reminder that the king, the kingship of David and his successors will last forever. And we really, that points to Christ our King. All right, let's see. Now let's look at this gospel. Again, this is a little bit lengthy, and we talked about this not too long ago on the program, but it's certainly worth reading again. This is a great parable. This is Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him so that he got into a boat on the sea and he sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land, and he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 60, 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears ought to hear." And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see, but not perceive, and hear and listen, but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables?" Oh, I'm sorry, he said, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word receive it once with joy. But they have no roots. They only last for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, this might not be popular, but I'm going to give you some homework. I know, boo. But listen, we have to do this because I want you to reread this gospel. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Write that down. Mark 4, 1 through 20. And go to your Bible. I certainly hope you have a Bible because you need to read this. If you don't, you can go online to usccb.org, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and you can get access to this gospel. Take a look at this again because Jesus says a lot in this parable. And I want you to think about it. Who are you when it comes to receiving his word? His word is spoken through sacred scripture, as we read here, as well as through sacred tradition, through the teaching of the Catholic Church. Do you receive his word and act on it? The Lord goes and spells out what exactly we should do when we hear his word. Sometimes we act on it. Sometimes we don't act on it. Sometimes we hear it, we say yes, I'm going to put this into action. And then when we get distracted by the things that go on in the world, we lose our motivation. How are you responding to the word of God? And this is critical. If you expect to get to heaven and if you expect to grow closer to Christ, and I don't just, when I say you, I direct this to myself as well. And for all of us, unless we really take this seriously and make an effort and pray for the grace to receive and act on the Lord's word, we are never going to have that relationship with him. And we're going to hurt our chances for getting into heaven. We need to take his word seriously. Every time we open the Bible or we hear the readings proclaimed at Mass or we do them on the show here, that's God speaking to you. Because that's what our church teaches, that the Bible is the inspired word of God. So this is not just something directed to people thousands of years ago. He's speaking to you. We have to do a little work sometimes and find out how the particular message relates to our lives, but it does. It does have a meaning for you. So reread that again, if you would, and try to determine where you fit into that parable. Maybe a little bit of this sometimes, a little bit of that other times, and we should strive for being the path where be that dirt, that soil, that allows the word to grow in us so that it bears fruit. That's our goal. That's what we're striving toward. Okay, let's take a look at purgatory here or hereafter. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a tough show today, isn't it? I'm really getting tough with you. But I think this is a good message. It's a message we need to address, especially as we head into Lent. As we do each Wednesday, we open up the book My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Payone, and we take a look at a little message. This one's pretty brief today, but it's a strong one. The way this works is the first part of the message is a message that could have come to you from Christ. So it's written in the form of a message from Christ. Purgatory here or hereafter. My child, do not expect to find peace until you have overcome a variety of troubles and opposition. If you say that you cannot bear much suffering now, how will you be able to endure the purifying pains of purgatory hereafter? The patient man finds a cleansing purgatory in this earthly life. When others wrong him, he is more sorry that evil is done than that he has been wronged. He forgives the evildoer from the bottom of his heart. He is not slow to ask pardon when he himself has hurt others. He is more easily moved to pity than to anger. He frequently disregards his feelings and tries to live above them, according to his intelligence and my grace. Now, to follow up on that, here's something to think about. Either here on earth or hereafter in purgatory, I must make up for each fault I commit. Nothing tainted will be allowed to enter heaven. I can purify my soul now by following the example and words of Christ, my Redeemer. He gained for me the grace to conquer sin and error. Now I must do my part by living a holy life. If I refuse and die in venial sin, I'll have to make it up in purgatory. If I die in mortal sin, I shall condemn myself to hell forever. So what we want to do is, certainly we want to make sure that we go to confession frequently. And if you have some sort of a mortal sin on your soul right now, something you did that's seriously wrong, by all means, please go to confession as soon as possible, because you don't want to die in the state of mortal sin. That's how we end up in hell. That's a really serious problem. So get that taken care of. It shouldn't be a problem as long as you're sorry, as long as you pledge to do your best with God's help to avoid the sin in the future, you can be absolved of even that mortal sin. And then finally, if you have these venial sins, go to confession for those too, and do little acts of penance. There are things you could do. Accept suffering that comes your way. Accept the inconveniences. Maybe give up something. Give up some your favorite dessert once a week or something. There are little things you can do. Let's end with a prayer here from the book. My Jesus, you fulfilled your Father's will largely by your patience during your earthly life. Therefore, it's only right that I, a miserable sinner, should be patient in my own daily life. Even though this present life may feel like a burden, still by the help of your grace, it is a great opportunity to earn heavenly merit. Your holy example and the lives of your saints make this life lighter and more bearable for those who take time out each day so as to see more clearly your way to heaven. By accepting the little inconveniences that happen to us, the little things that are uncomfortable, and even the major ones, we are, and offering it up, we help ourselves and others to be able to get to heaven. So it's really important to start doing that. Think about that during the Lenten season. And, you know, if you don't give up chocolate and you decide to read extra scripture during Lent, that's a really good thing. Don't get caught up in the fact that you just have to give up something. You need to do something to grow closer to Christ. We'll talk more about that. I'm out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.